The Bible says in Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. This broadcast is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're located just above the Willow Creek Golf Course on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We'd love for you to come and visit with us and be with us in any of our services. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting at 7 o'clock, second and fourth Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, and then every Sunday morning, Sunday school starts at 10 a.m., and then our Sunday morning worship service at 11. We'd love for you to come. You'll be made to feel welcome. We're a friendly church. We had a lot of visitors last Sunday, and we thank the Lord for everybody that comes through, whether it's to visit or maybe you're searching for a church home, a church family, and we'd love for you to come and visit with us. And so we wanted to say that to begin with today. I also want to welcome my son, Noah, to the broadcast today. How are you today, Noah?
I'm doing well.
Good. Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm. You too. It's good to be here. We want to welcome and say how much we appreciate all our listeners that we have here on AM 1450 WATA, and also those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. I appreciate Noah. He does a lot of work, and it really helps lighten my load. He edits and produces the other radio broadcasts that we have, the Old Paths broadcast. That's on WZAP every weekday morning, Monday through Friday at 10:45. And that is on 690 AM WZAP, and he edits and puts together, and I'll tell you, I just couldn't do it without him. So I appreciate what he does to help me out so I can get done what I need to do. And I'll tell you, I'm a little raspy today in my voice. Maybe you've already noticed. I told Noah before we came in, I said, I may just have to hand all my notes to you and you finish it out. I don't know if he'd be thrilled about that or not, but I think I'll be all right. But I've been preaching in a missions conference this week, and I actually strained my voice just a little bit Sunday morning. You know, a lot of people get excited at ball games and, you know, stuff like that, sports events. But I think, you know, it's all right to get excited about the work of God. That's certainly the most important thing and the most exciting thing that is going on to me anyway. And that is what God is doing in the lives of his children, in the church, among the missionary families that we support, and to help get the word of God out into all the world. That's what is the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this missions conference, it's over in Jefferson or just outside of Jefferson at the Smethport Baptist Church. And tonight at 7 o'clock, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, if you're in the area, we'd love for you to come and to be with us there. That's August 31st and September 1st. But I preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, last night, go back tonight. We're looking forward to that. Now, last week, the broadcast, I used the subject, the book that birthed a nation. And what I talked about last week was the King James Bible. This year, of course, is the 400-year anniversary of unrivaled supremacy, the King James Bible 1611 to the year 2011. And we talked about the book that birthed a nation. During the time of the founding of this country, there was only one holy Bible. That was what we refer to as the King James Bible. And I talked about the impact, the saturation of the Word of God in society, how it influences people's lives, whether they know it or not. Daily use of different phrases comes out of the Bible, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a broken heart, born again. I gave a whole page worth of examples. And then even in the founding documents of our nation, the way the forefathers referred to the scriptures, and several examples there. But I didn't know if I would go on with that or not. I want to go on today to another subject along those lines, but a different subject. Last week we looked at the book that birthed a nation. And today I'd like to look at the subject of the belief that birthed a nation. The belief that birthed a nation. Now, as I have studied and read history, the history of our great nation, I believe that there is one biblical belief that stands out above all others. This belief I want to talk about today, I believe we could say is a bedrock or a cornerstone of our great nation. It is a belief that was held not only by professing Christianity, but also by the Jewish congregations, also by those who were not professing Christians but would classify themselves as deists. And I guess maybe one day I might do a broadcast on what the deists were and what they believed. But basically, they believed like this: Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine. The belief of deism was that they did believe that there was a God, a creator God, and that he would judge us according to our works, but basically that he was a absentee landlord and he just created us, put everything in motion, and you were to do the best that you could, and you'd be judged by what you did with that at the end. So they were very serious about their role in society and in our nation, because they did believe in God, and they believed that God would ultimately judge between the good and the bad. But they certainly could not be classified as a born-again believer or belief in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ and several other things. But they did believe in God. Now, the belief I'm referring to today, the belief that birthed a nation, is this: the belief in a divine creator, a creator made us in his own image, the God of the Bible. They believed our founders, our framers, our forefathers, they believed the truth as is stated in the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, where it just simply says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And this is the belief that birthed this great nation. And many, many examples could be given along those lines. For example, Patrick Henry's famous speech, which is a turning point or maybe a catalyst. God certainly used that speech to stir the hearts of men. His speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." He refers in that speech to the God of nature. He says in that speech that we will not fight our battles alone. He says there is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations. Or we could refer to Thomas Paine's Common Sense. Now, as I've already said, Thomas Paine, he was a deist. He certainly wasn't a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he did believe in God. And he wrote a book, a little pamphlet, actually, entitled Common Sense. And it is the introduction to it is dated February 14th, 1776. And it was very popular at that time and actually was a great tool to get his fellow citizens to see that America could indeed be a free nation and should come out from under the rule of Great Britain. But in that book, in that pamphlet, he talks about, and I looked again and found it this morning, he said in making the case for a free America, he said, "Mankind being originally equals in the order of creation." Mankind being originally equals in the order of creation. And he is referring there to a divine creator. He's referring to that we are made in the image of God. He's referring to the God of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he goes on there and he makes the case from Scripture that the idea of kings and subjects was adopted by the children of Israel from heathenism. And that is true. If you look and study in the Bible, you'll find that the children of Israel wanted a king to rule over them so that they could be like the other nations. And Thomas Paine refers to that the idea of kings comes from the heathen. They learned that from the heathen nations. But today, the greatest example comes from America's birth certificate. And what I'm referring to there is the Declaration of Independence. It has been said from a business standpoint that the Declaration of Independence is our Articles of Incorporation, while the United States Constitution is our bylaws. But the Declaration of Independence, we find in that, and I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs here or refer to the majority of it, but it's interesting to me that in the first sentence of the Declaration of Independence, it refers to our Creator God. It says, "When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them." And it refers there, and we're not talking about in the Declaration of Independence, we're not talking about the idea of one man, but we're talking about all of the signers came together, and it's referred to as the unanimous declaration, and they all put their name, their signature at the bottom of that, and at the end of the Declaration of Independence, it says, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance in the protection of divine providence." They were looking to divine providence, capital D, capital P. That is a direct reference to the God of the Bible. Now, in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, it gets even more specific than that. These men believe that they were created by God. And it says in the second paragraph, which is the most famous in the Declaration of Independence, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident," meaning everybody should be able to see this, self-evident. This is common knowledge, they were saying. Among the people at that time, this was the predominant belief system. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator," capital C. They're referring to the God of the Bible as their Creator. "They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." And I have gone over that before, what it means, unalienable rights, which means rights which cannot be transferred. They cannot be taken away because they are not, now listen, they are not granted to us by the government. They are given to us by God. And since these unalienable rights are given to us by God, then what they were saying is government is not the bestower, and government cannot take these rights away. Our Creator, with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They were referring there to our Creator. Belief in creation set the stage in our country for equality, for equal opportunity for everybody. Now, I know there are those that say, well, back then there was this class of people and that class of people, and I know and I realize and I understand all of that, but I'm saying today that the Declaration of Independence set the stage, put the wheels in progress for an equality and an opportunity that has never been equaled anywhere in any nation in the world. And what the belief in a divine Creator does for us, it fosters among people an attitude of respect. If we realize that we're all created equal, that it doesn't matter if you're a white person or a dark person or a yellow or red or whatever your color is, that it doesn't matter, that we're all created equal. That's what a belief in a divine Creator does. We all came from the same, if you believe what the Bible says, we all came from the dust of the ground. And it ought to foster among us an attitude of respect and admiration, recognizing that we are all the creation of God. We are all God's creation. It ought to foster an attitude of humility among human beings, because we realize we come from the dust. And if we are wise, we will recognize that our time in this life is just very short. In fact, the Bible says your life is as a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The Bible says we come from the dust and we'll go back to the dust, referring to our physical body. We are here for just a very short period of time. And a belief in creation reminds us of these things. I believe with all of my heart it's the one belief that can be said to have birthed our nation. This was common. This was self-evident. They agreed. They believed that their Creator gave them these unalienable rights. Now, I want to say just a little bit. On the other hand, there is evolution. There was an article that really got me thinking about this in last Friday's Winston-Salem Journal. That was Friday, August the 26th. It was in the editorial section, and it was a reprint of a special to the Washington Post. And so this went out in the Washington Post and also the Winston-Salem Journal, and no doubt many other newspapers picked it up across our land. And it was by a gentleman whose name is Richard Dawkins. And Richard Dawkins, it says, is a British evolutionary biologist and author. He made this case for evolution on the Washington Post blog on faith, and that's where it comes from. And I read this, I told my wife, I said, if you don't believe that the stage is being set for an all-out attack on Christians, Christianity, or anybody that would have a belief in the Bible or the God of the Bible, then you need to read that article. And it's very telling. This is the prevalent attitude in America today among many people. Now, not among everybody, but you'd be surprised how many people would agree with Mr. Dawkins. And I'm going to read just a little bit from this article here. The title to it says, Attention, Governor Perry, evolution is a fact. And he talks about how that Governor Rick Perry, who many of you know, he's going to run for president in 2012, and how that he had had a conversation with a young boy about how that in Texas they taught creation right along beside evolution. And Mr. Perry said that evolution was just a theory with gaps. He told the boy that God is how we got here. And so this Mr. Dawkins, he jumps on Mr. Perry, and I want to share with you some of the things. Now, I can't share all of it, but what I want to point out in sharing a little bit from this article is how this supposedly evolved man, Mr. Dawkins, who penned the article, how he uses all of this time and space to belittle anyone who does not accept his belief of creation. And let me say before I share this that both creation and evolution must be believed. Both creation and evolution are religious beliefs. But the fact is, and this is irrefutable no matter which side you're on, the fact is no one was there in the beginning. Even the Lord in the Bible told Job in Job chapter 38 and verse 4, he said, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" He told Job, he said, "You weren't there. You don't know everything." And so anybody that says that evolution is a fact is not telling the truth. Nobody was there. Nobody was there in the creation. We're either going to believe God and what he says, or we're going to believe the theory of evolution. Creation is the belief of the biblical account, and evolution is the religious belief of the atheistic humanist. Now, let me share just a few snippets from this article. Time will quickly get gone. So he is answering Governor Rick Perry, and he says this. Now, I'm going to read just a few things. He says, uneducated fools can be found in every country and every period of history. He's referring to Governor Perry and his evident belief in creation and telling that boy that God is how we got here. He said, uneducated fools can be found in every country and every period of history. He said, in any other party and in any other country, an individual may occasionally rise to the top in spite of being an uneducated ignoramus. He says, in today's Republican Party, ignorance and lack of education are positive qualifications. Intellect, knowledge, and linguistic mastery are mistrusted by Republican voters who, when choosing a president, would apparently prefer someone like themselves over someone actually qualified for the job. So, Mr. Dawkins, he's your typical Brit and is used to looking down the nose of others or on others. And he goes on and he refers to Perry's and the Tea Party's pronouncements. He said their ignorance of evolutionary science might be overlooked. He says evolution is a fact. He who denies it betrays woeful ignorance and lack of education, which likely extends to other fields as well. Notice how he equates, if you don't believe in evolution, you're an ignoramus, you're uneducated, you have a lack of education, positive qualifications, you're obviously, in his estimation, very low on the evolutionary scale. He said evolutionary is a fact. He said you cannot be ignorant of evolution and be a cultivated and adequate citizen of today. He said the creationist or intelligent design theory is such a rotten theory. He says Darwin explained all of this with one brilliantly simple idea, natural selection. He said the rival theory to explain the functional complexity of life, creationism, is about as bad a theory as has ever been proposed. In fact, it is such a bad theory it doesn't deserve to be called a theory at all, and certainly doesn't deserve to be taught alongside evolution in science class. And so he refers here and he brags on Darwin and his theory of evolution and states that it's a fact and all of these things, when, of course, if you know the facts, if you've studied both out, it's not a fact by any means. There are many gaps and holes in the theory of evolution, but he refers to Darwin explained it all with this one brilliantly simple idea, natural selection. Evolution is based upon the idea of natural selection. Natural selection is the idea of survival of the fittest. I truly believe it's probably where we get the idea or the phrase, it's a dog-eat-dog world. And the biggest dog with the best abilities, you know, it eats and kills the other dog. And survival of the fittest, natural selection, dog-eat-dog, that's the idea behind evolution. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 12 in verse number 33. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. The tree is known by his fruit. And of course, we don't have all kinds of time today to go into the positive aspects of just believing in creation and what God says, and in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But I'll tell you, that's how our founders believed. That's how our nation believed for many, many years. No question, the book said it, and that made it so. And of course, we could say many Bible verses along those lines. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and many other proof texts we could give, but either you believe it or you don't. But Jesus said the tree is known by his fruit, and the belief in creation in our nation, the belief in intelligent design, that God put us here and we have a purpose, and God even gave to this nation of ours, the nation of the United States, God gave us a manifest destiny. Our Creator gave us certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Do you know what creation did to our nation? I'm going to tell you what it did. It gave us the greatest nation upon the face of the earth, to believe that we were here by providence, divine providence, and the belief that we were here put by God, created by God, gave us the greatest nation upon the face of the earth, gave us the happiest nation upon the face of the earth, gave us the freest nation upon the face of the earth. No other nation has had the freedom and the liberties and the opportunities that America has given to the world. A belief in a divine creator gave us the most prosperous nation upon the face of the earth, gave more hope to the world than any other nation upon the face of the earth. That is what creation, that is the fruit of believing in a divine creator. Jesus said the tree is known by its fruit. But evolution, on the other hand, natural selection, survival of the fittest, dog eat dog. If you study into history, you'll find out what evolution, the tree of evolution, the fruit that comes off of that tree. Well, you'll find Hitler in there and the Holocaust. Hitler was inspired by evolution. He used that word in his book Mein Kampf, the German word for it, many, many times. He believed that there was a superior Aryan race, and he believed in the evolution of the Aryan nation, and he believed it was all right to murder and slaughter the Polish, the Jewish people, and killed millions and millions of people. That's what evolution has given to the world. Evolution has also given us the abortion death industry, the killing of babies, the weeding out of the weak and the unwanted. Evolution will give you the killing of old people when they get to the point to where, you know, quality of life, can't take care of them. That's what evolution will give to you and will justify it. Evolution has given us a generation of apathetic, roving bandits, looting and terrorizing with no respect for their fellow man. I wondered if Mr. Dawkins was writing his article against Governor Perry and creation from London or somewhere in England, where they were roving and looting and roaming the streets. You know, that doesn't seem very advanced if you ask me. That's the fruit of telling people and teaching people that they're just evolved animals and that they have a right to everything and anything and no respect for fellow man. If I was Mr. Dawkins, I think he would do well to inspect the fruit of the tree of evolution, because it's rotten to the core. And as for me, I'm just going to believe what the Word of God says. I believe it takes far more faith to believe in evolution than it does to just believe what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What Mr. Perry referred to as an uneducated ignoramus stood in the pulpit and held his Bible, and he said, I'll tell you, the greatest evidence against evolution is no round objects comes from explosions. And that's a real basic interpretation of the difference between the two. Well, I believe in the Big Bang theory, but it's just on the other end. It's not at the beginning, it's at the end. Hope you're ready. Hope you're prepared. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening in.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, the church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. 4596, or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.